RadioArchives.com presents Red Son of Danger, an adventure of Captain Future by Edmund Hamilton. Read by Milton Bagby. Captain Future, the ace of space. Born and raised on the moon, Curtis Newton survived the murder of his scientist parents to become the protector of the galaxy, known as Captain Future. With his future men, Greg the giant robot, Otho the shape-shifting android, and Simon Wright the living brain, he patrols the solar system in the fastest spaceship ever constructed, the Comet, pursuing human monsters and alien threats to Earth and her neighbor planets. And now, Captain Future's thrilling adventure, Red Son of Danger. Chapter 1. Seven Against a World. To see your whole life work smashed to ruins by no fault of your own. To see the great dream of humanity which you had helped fulfill, destroyed now by trickery and greed. Yes, the taste of these things was bitter. They put a sickness in Philip Carlin's studious, spectacled face as his rocket car purred up the wide north ramp into the center of Great New York. They crushed his mind with a black foreknowledge of disaster to come. He drove into the great paved plaza that is the heart of solar system civilization. The titanic bulk of Government Tower loomed like a thundercloud above the lights of the metropolis. Far up there against the stars glowed a lighted window, like a vigilant eye looking watchfully out into the universe that a man had begun to conquer. A Planet Patrol officer met Carlin.
"Dr. Carlin, I've been ordered to conduct you to the President's office. This way, sir."
Carlin glanced at the officer as they walked toward the mighty tower. Impulse made him ask a question.
"How old are you, Lieutenant?"
The patrol officer looked surprised.
30, sir."
Carlin brooded over the answer a moment.
"I suppose you've got your next 70 years all planned?"
The lieutenant grinned.
"Oh, sure. There's a lot of things I want to do after I quit the patrol someday. But I've lots of time."
Carlin's voice was heavy with foreboding.
"I'd do them now if I were you. I wouldn't count on those 70 years too much."
The lieutenant's grin widened.
"You're joking, aren't you? Everybody will live more than a century now, barring accident. Vitron has seen to that."
His cheerful words echoed ironically in Philip Carlin's mind as a soundless magnetic elevator bore him upward.
"Vitron has seen to that."
Vitron. The whole solar system depended on the magic drug these days, as much as on the air it breathed, the drug of long life. For Vitron was a supervitamin, a chemical agent that combated the poisons which caused the human body to age. It would give people a century of life, and decades of useful youth. It had at one stroke enormously expanded man's prospective lifespan. But nine-tenths of that precious Vitron came from a world far outside the system. Now, that supply was threatened. If the system learned of that danger, there would be a panic. But Daniel Crewe, the system president, had imparted it only to the scientist who had discovered Vitron and to the others whom he had summoned to this urgent conference tonight. Carlin was thinking of those others now, without hope.
"What can they do if the government is powerless? What can any of us do?"
When he entered the tower-top room that was the president's office, he found that Zamok, the solemn Martian biochemist, and Lin Sao, the plump Venusian cytologist, were already there. So was Commander Halk Anders of the Planet Patrol, a hard-faced, massive man in gray uniform. But the room was somehow dominated by the fourth man, the worn, colorless little Earthman upon whose shoulders rested the vast weight of administering the government of the system's worlds and moons. Daniel Crewe looked as though that weight were crushing him tonight.
"They're not here yet?"
Philip Carlin asked hesitantly.
"They're coming now,"
Commander Anders said curtly.
"Hear that?"